Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books. Still two to go. That's why we love the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Plenty of time for all of us to catch up on what happened, what's going on. Astros, March Madness, Rockets with a couple victories this weekend. Nick was front and center for one of them. That was absolutely amazing. That probably, at least in the minds of Houstonians, we already knew, but hopefully the nation is back on board with Mr. Harden, because those were just ridiculous performances there. But bottom line is, the city should be buzzing about those Cougs, because for the first time, 34 years, hats off to Kelvin Sampson and his staff, that great team, and the fact that this team now has more wins in a season than any basketball team in University of Houston history. And boy, oh boy, for a bracket that looked like it was going to be the toughest in the tourney, the fact that teams are falling by the wayside, and yet the Cougs take care of their business, love seeing it.
Went out and cooged them. I love it.
Love it.
Now, here's, I don't want to be Debbie Downer.
Yes, you do.
No, and I'm not trying to be that. So don't take this the wrong way. But you just said this is the team that has the most wins in university history. Mm-hmm. Fair to say that it's not the most talented team in university history?
More than fair.
Okay. Which, and the reason I bring that up is that's what makes it all the more impressive and amazing. Don't get me wrong. This is a talented basketball team, and you can watch and see that. But you can't compare what this team has to the Phi Slamma Jamma era with Olajuwon and Drexler, two of the top 50 NBA players of all time. I don't even know if any of these guys are going to play in the NBA.
So I wrote that exact article.
That's what's so impressive about this.
Yes, I wrote that exact article a couple weeks ago.
And it speaks volumes about their coach.
And that was one of my points made in the article as well. I said, look, this team does not have a superstar. It doesn't have Zion Williamson. It doesn't have a guy where you just give the ball to a guy on the wing and get out of the way when you need a bucket. But that's what makes this a team sport. Mm-hmm. Team sports mean you need everybody to step up from time to time. When you look at, just look at all 33 wins, look at the entire season, you had a variety of different leading scorers, leading rebounders, guys doing different things on a night-by-night basis, and you're absolutely right. That was my main point. And some people here that will remain nameless, we're like, I disagree. They've got a player. They got a star. They got a future NBA. Well, we'll see. But guess what?
And Corey Davis Jr.? Is he the star?
That supposedly. That's what one person thought. But okay. I said, you know what? I'm not. If that's true, fine. But I have no problem with this team being a whole bunch of guys. Galen Robinson last night was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, they kept calling him a water bug. You can call him whatever you want, a pinball, whatever. But his end-to-end with the ball after a make or a miss to get them into some action that got them easy baskets, fantastic.
Not what I love about this team is that they are, from opening tip to the final buzzer, there's just no let-up.
Yep.
Even when they're down, they play the same. They have the same defensive intensity, the same offensive intensity. This team, what impresses me is whatever's on that scoreboard, they really don't care. Kelvin Sampson gets the most out of them.
He's got him
every
conditioned.
Single second.
Yeah, he's got him conditioned.
And I love that he's hard on them. You can watch him during a game, and you'll just see, like, late in the game, they're trying to run some time off the clock. I thought it was a good shot, but there was it's like 2 minutes left, something like that. And there was a rebound, And they kicked it back out to the top of the circle. And I think I want to say it was Galen Robinson. It might have been Corey Davis.
I think it was Davis.
Yeah. But shot a three right away. And Kelvin Sampson lost his mind. And he was like, what are you doing? I mean, it's an open three. Take it. Shoot your shot. But Kelvin Sampson wanted him to run the clock out. And, I mean, they're up. They're winning. And he still is being a coach and, you know, yelling at them when he thinks they need it. And, man, it's working. And it's working well.
They respect him. That's the good thing.
Yeah.
You need your players to respect him. That's exactly what they got. And you're right. They do a real good job of dealing with lead changes. It's not the first time that they've been down before, whether it's 5 or 10 points or even more. And they have that confidence to come back. So I'm impressed that they were able to do that in Tulsa. It's important for them to continue to have that confidence against Kentucky in the Sweet 16. I believe that's in Kansas City, but
it is.
But so that's going to be a tough matchup. Yeah,
so the article that I wrote too is the best evidence I can give you as to why this should be credit to Kelvin Sampson is kind of what things you were talking about, but it's one thing to run a guy's offensive system, but it's another thing to dive on the floor for a loose ball, to play defense on every possession, to buy into what he's putting in terms of not just a system, but a style of play that a lot of guys don't want to play. And the other thing where it really benefits you is you take a team, like just say one of the other teams in the tournament where they have a star player. If that guy has an off night, you're basically done. The beauty of this team is, like Giroux last night, he had an off night. He got into the scuffle at halftime, finished with like 2 points.
Yeah.
But guess what? Next game, he'll step up, and he'll step up big, and he'll make some hustle plays, and he'll finish some things on the break, do some things. This team has just so many different guys on a night-by-night basis that can contribute. Now, not necessarily have to be the leading scorer, but contribute when you need them, and that's a huge sign and a feather in the cap of Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah, and what surprised me about last night's results is Ohio State played well. And I always felt like they were in it just about the whole time, even though, you know,
I agree,
but it felt closer than maybe it was, especially at the end. But Houston didn't shoot well from 3-point range. Mm-hmm. I mean, 26%.
It was one of the first graphics I saw.
And yeah. Ohio State did, yeah, which is 34%. Totally against what they do.
Right. They were 34%. And that's a recipe for disaster for a team like the Cougars, but they still out rebounded them. I mean, you look at 12 steals to four.
Points
crazy.
In the paint was ridiculous. That's where I thought they were going to get killed, because I kept telling my buddies that I play hoops with on the weekend. I said, y'all don't realize they got a big boy at Ohio State that goes about 275 pounds.
He's massive.
Yeah, he's going to put you on the
Caleb
low block.
Wilson.
And he's going to do some things. And instead, he made 2 threes early. And as Kelvin said after the game in the press conference, look, if that's their best player, and we know what a load he is down low, and all of the shots he took were either a three or from the perimeter facing up, he goes, we did our job.
Yeah, we'll take it. Don't forget, too, though, to me, the most glaring thing besides the three-point differential, turnovers. Ohio State had 14 turnovers to U of H's 6.
That's the thing. U of H misses shots.
6.
But they take care of the
ball.
They
don't turn the ball over. And you feel like... I feel like that this would be a team that would be a little more reckless with the ball because they're so frenetic and fast-paced and they're flying all over the court, but they do that under control.
Yes.
It looks like a lot of times they're out of control. They're not.
Their madness.
Yeah. I was so surprised to look at the box score and see 6 turnovers.
Points
That's
in the
crazy.
Paint, too, to me, was amazing. In the first half, it was like 21-2 points in the paint, and you knew he was just giddy. You're right, because he doesn't want to show his emotions.
Yeah.
But he was happy about that, and that's why I give him a shot against Kentucky. I know that this is going to be a tall mountain to climb, but when you look at what Kentucky brings to the table and who their coach is, Calipari is known as a guy that's a one-and-done master. And so he gets a lot of young kids that have all the talent in the world that are looking for the stepping stone to the next level. But those kids haven't been through what these kids have been through. Mm-hmm. So not only are they a team and they're not going to just rely on their stars to carry them, but they've been through some wars. Nick, you talked about the fact that no deficit was insurmountable. They've come back in games. They've done a lot of things that where Kentucky might wilt or choke or tighten up a little bit, this team's been through enough now that I like their chances because they're athletic, too, to match up with Kentucky and force them to play their style. And Kentucky might have some issues.
Yeah, I was looking at the box score with that Wolford game with Kentucky, and they didn't play well, and it showed. I mean, they should have beat Wolford by more than 6.
Boy, that kid can shoot, too. He's fun to watch. That little guy, man, he gets it up in the air, and the 4-point plays and all the things he did. Who'd have thought that Wolford not only would be a 7 seed, but would give Kentucky all they could handle?
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be a good game. What I liked is Kelvin Sampson coming out and saying, this is just another game for us. I respect Calipari. I respect that program, but this is just the next game for us. We've beat some good teams. And he talked about the fact that they beat LSU. If I'm not mistaken, didn't they play Oregon and beat them too?
Oh, yeah. Early in the season? That was with your boy Bull Bull.
Remember, this is Oregon and LSU are two of the final 16 teams, along with U of H. So there's not a lot of teams that can tell you that their resume includes wins over two Sweet 16 teams. And the Cougars are one of them.
And he was bringing that up because I don't think people look at that American Athletic Conference schedule and think that they did anything like that. Well, and then when you start dropping opponents that they've beaten like that, you start giving them a little bit more credit. You're absolutely right. And here's the funny thing. And Ken Pomeroy, who writes for The Athletic, he's their college basketball writer, he had this kind of unique perspective. He said the unsweet 16, 16 of the highest ranked preseason teams that didn't make the Sweet 16. Names like Kansas, Villanova, Syracuse, Nevada, West Virginia, Kansas State, Clemson, Texas, Wisconsin, Florida, Miami, and we can go on. They're all gone. But the preseason ranks of the teams that are in the Sweet 16, of course you get 2, 3, 4, 6, 9, 11, 13, 15, 17, 18, but here they come. 23, 25, 26, 31, 44, 48. That's the beauty of the tournament.
Yeah.
You get the right draw or you get hot at the right time, like Oregon. Oregon didn't have their bleep together when they were playing the
Auburn Cougs, too.
And they were trying to make a 7-footer that was going to be one and done a part of their program. When they just got down to, hey, you're gone now. We're going to focus on what we got and what we do. They play a hell of a lot better. You're right. Auburn, Tennessee.
Playing hot right now, Auburn is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, I mean, that's a tale of two halves, really. They had, you know, 51. They were up 51-25 at half over Kansas. Lost the second half 50-38. So you can almost say that they hung in. They hung on to win.
But what about
more
Tennessee?
Than win going away. But
Tennessee's up 25, blow the whole lead. One of their best players is sitting on the bench. And instead of pouting, that shows you what kind of locker room they got.
That's great leadership.
He's cheerleading. His guys are stepping up for him. They get a big win. That's what
and
this tournament
from
is
Iowa
why it's so
calls
beautiful.
That, calls a timeout. They have a second and a half
seconds.
Left.
But I was again, like, ugh. But you just can't advance it in the NBA like you can in the NBA. Yeah. So it would be tougher. But
it's still, you get a shot up.
And great games to watch.
And you saw
too.
The Hornets results last night getting a shot up.
Yep.
Take that. It's the sweet, it's the March Madness. That happens all the time. I will say this though, Tennessee, watching them play, they remind me a lot of the Cougs.
A little bit.
That just the energy level, the effort.
Anybody can do it.
And you're right. That kid, what's his name, that sat on the bench that decided he wouldn't play.
He's a senior from Chicago. I want to say, like, it's not the mayor, but he's got a unique first name like that.
Yeah, he does. I gotta find it, but good for him for saying, you know what, I'll sit out. And the reason that he gave was that he didn't know Schofield.
Yep.
He said he didn't want to be bouncing in and out because he was in foul trouble for the most of the second half, that he didn't want to ruin the momentum that they had. So he goes, just leave me on the bench and let them play. And that's their star. He had 19 in the game and set out in overtime so that he didn't mess up the rotation. Yeah. That's real leadership to me.
No doubt about it.
You know, there's unselfishness, and then that's on a whole other level.
Because if you go look at Liberty on the flip side, their best player, same thing. Foul trouble, couldn't get into rhythm. They kept trying to shove him into the game, and they'd have to take him right back out because it just wasn't his night.
And he recognized it. Now, the tricky part is what if they lost? And he said, no, just don't put me in.
You know who catches that? Then Rick Barnes catches all the heat in the world.
Yeah.
And if he's a real leader, he steps up and goes, no, that was my call.
I told him to, yeah.
All right, that's a little bit of the tournament talk. We can get to more because Duke sure does look vulnerable. Ooh. And they got lucky. So we've got that to talk about and a lot more. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listening line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Knee deep in hour number two of the shows. We continue to roll on. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday on The Usual Suspects. We were talking a little bit about the March Madness. And the freaking out factor that came with the Duke game yesterday.
Yeah.
And again, we were talking about what U of H has accomplished this year. When you see a team like UCF giving Duke all they can handle and legitimately should have won the game, had plenty of opportunities to do so, that gives, aside from their schedule alone and the teams that they beat, you talk about when one of the teams in your conference next is side by side with you doing things in the tournament, great look for the AAC.
Yeah, really. And the fact that, I mean, you got to have hope as the U of H fan too, to see how you played UCF and yeah, you lost, but you hung in there with them. And if you can hang with that team, cause they came back several times in that game before actually just losing it. But, you got to feel good if you're UCF about the future of your program too. But if you're Duke, are you like, okay, we got away with one, but there was probably plenty of mistakes that we made that we don't normally make. And they were the beneficiary of a lot of calls. I feel like Zion pushed off on that last play where he had to end one.
A little bit, the defender did. But I see where you make a call one way or another, and then it's not a three-point
play. Two fouls. Like, he pushed off there with the offhand, and then he jumps into Taco. And then at the other end, I mean, they had two chances at a tip in and missed it, including Dawkins.
Oh my God, were they? I just couldn't believe one of the two.
How do you miss that?
I watched both of them over and over again. One of those two, 9 times out of 10, is going in.
So if you're Duke, you feel lucky. But let's face it, you're not going to get all the way through the tournament without a little luck.
And Krzyzewski said as much, but I was wondering, look, with all the love he has, because if you don't know the story, Johnny Dawkins, the coach at UCF, was the first real big-time recruit that Krzyzewski was able to get his career started at Duke. And a lot of people have said, if Johnny Dawkins doesn't pick Duke, we don't know Coach K like we know him today. So the fact that that was one thing, and then he watched Johnny's son, who was phenomenal yesterday, grow up from little on, and then he put on the performance that he had 30-plus points just killing them, and he had the tip that would not go in.
Yeah.
And he knew what they were feeling. But I was wondering if it was anybody else, if he would change his tune at all, because obviously there's not the same love for the family, but you should just admit, you got out of there and escaped.
You got lucky.
And got real lucky, because you were talking about those. My big thing was, less than 2 minutes to go in the game, down four, Duke takes another tough shot, because UCF was just saying, Taco was guarding Jones, the point guard, and going, I dare you to shoot, and he kept shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept taking quick contested shots that wasn't in their favor. Down four, and UCF goes on a fast break, and Dawkins has a dunk on an alley-oop to basically put the final nail in the coffin. Not only does he not dunk it, but somehow he finds a way for it to not even find the rim and fall to the floor so Duke could go the other way, and Reddish hits a three, and I'm going, oh my God. I turn to Lisa and I go, I don't care how he finishes it. If he just lays that thing in, they're done.
Yeah.
And they found a way to win.
The tip ends after the free throw missed by... And SportsCenter said it best, Zion short-armed that boy. As big as he is and as clutch as he is, he had one free throw to ice it.
And I've been on him in the fact that he has good form, but when they say in the NBA, you can fix him because he doesn't finish his shots well, but you're right. As much as he was like, I was looking forward to this, and Coach K is a smart man, he's a great coach. For him to tell me I live for moments like this,
you
probably didn't want to live.
I'm not going to say you choked.
Right. But here's the other thing. The funny thing was, after the game, they were talking to him and Barrett side by side, and Barrett's talking about the tip-in. And I'm sure Barrett probably in retrospect would have told him to set a different way. He goes, well, I knew there was a good chance he was going to miss, so I was just ready to try and get that tip in there.
I used to watch tournaments, and there was a lot of one on missed free throws, so I was just ready. You're like,
what you're saying is, you know what we all know. He's not the greatest free throw shooter in the world. So there was a chance.
He's got to have some weakness.
But now, I don't know. That's one that obviously if they win at all, they'll look back and go.
Got lucky.
Most every team, it's rare that you find a team that just runs the table with nothing but blowout, blowout, blowout.
Yeah.
Now, Villanova last year, they were saying, well, they had a cakewalk. But just remember, when Villanova had to win it, it was a tight game. Mm-hmm. When they won it here, as good as Villanova was, it took a buzzer beater to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have one of those, what they call them, escape in advance or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
But you hope that's their only one if you're a Duke fan, but that was a tight one.
It was. And by the way, can we just all pause for the cause and acknowledge what an outstanding name Taco is?
He's going to be in the NBA.
Just the name alone.
Taco.
Taco. Yep.
He's like, he'll forever be remembered. What's his Twitter handle?
I don't know.
Should be at Taco.
Taco Fall.
I don't think anybody has that Twitter handle.
That is an outstanding name, though. Taco?
Taco Tuesdays? I don't know.
Just in
general.
I'm sure
coming up, though, he was.
He didn't like it.
I'm sure kids were. But kids are brutal.
Is that legitimately his first name, or did he
get a nickname? I don't know.
That's something to be interested in. Because you know what? The dude has got his head on his shoulders, too.
Could have been worse.
Okay. We can call him Trip.
Burrito? Yeah. Who would want to be called Burrito Fall?
Dong.
Who would, like, brisket? Like, there's so many foods. You got to wonder, like, wow, let's...
Middle name really... Norman, Trip, and Fall.
Oh, man, I cannot pronounce his real name.
See, that's what I thought.
So how did he get Taco? Do we know?
There's a Taco... T-A-C-K-O is in his name, so I guess you can call it Taco. And then Fall is really his last name, but there's two other names. It's a four-name name.
Where's he from? Where's he from originally?
Say it, Nick. Just say it.
El Hajj Taco Syringe Diop Fall.
Man. Oh, he's got a syringe in his
name.
That
sounds like you nailed it.
That was a disaster.
Where's he from? What country is he from?
He is from Senegal.
Yeah, because he's been fantastic in terms of utilizing the platform of all of the popularity he's gotten into the tournament to state people need to be aware of, like, the killings worldwide and things like that. Yeah. He's got a really good head on his shoulders.
I thought it was T-A-C-O. It's T-A-C-K-O. That's not the same. But, yeah, you butchered his name, by the way.
At least you put a syringe in it.
That was awful.
I know. It wasn't even close. I know.
No,
but
El Hajj Taco Serene Diop Fall. That's not that hard.
How did you not get El Hajj? You said...
Yeah, El Hajj...
You said...
Go run it back. Let's hear what you said.
Yeah, run back what you said his first name was.
Run back what you said. That was awful.
Because we had a debate going with my buddies. Taco's going to be on an NBA roster.
I think so.
He can... Just for defensive possessions alone, you could put that guy in the lane.
Look, he's got better feet than Manute Bol. He's quicker than Manute Bol. At 7'6", he's going to find a spot.
I got a buddy of mine that I play hoops with that used to work for the Rockets that now works out, guys. He's worked him out. He goes, you know what's crazy? All they want him to do at UCF and all they've ever wanted him to do was rebound and dunk. He's like, when we worked him out, just little things on the post, he was picking it up, but he had never really done it. If you get an NBA team that works with him a little bit, that's a dude that's going to be on a roster for a while.
Sure. Especially at 7'6".
Where's he from originally?
Say it, Nick. Just say it.
El Hajj Taco Syringe Diop Fall.
So we got syringe. El Hajj Taco Syringe. Syringe.
Not El Hajji, which is what it is. E-L-H-A-D-J-I. El Hajj Taco Syringe. Syringe.
Syringe.
We got to go to break.
S-E-R-E-I-G-N-E. Serene? Or
syringe, man. Come on.
What are you, dyslexic?
Syringe.
What are you, Trey?
That's my bad. I'm dyslexic.
Syringe? So
he's a taco syringe.
And a syringe.
Do I get an A for effort? Because
no,
I tried.
You requested
El Hajj.
Fail.
There's an I on the end, and you got El Hajj?
I don't know how to pronounce the I or the J in that name.
What?
I don't.
Man,
I feel like you would have a leg up on the rest of us with a name like that.
Stay tuned after the break
that
for
was
Hooked
racist.
On
That's
Phonics
my bad.
As we continue to roll through the English language and others. We'll be back with the second half right here on The Usual Suspects.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always great to have you along for the ride, whatever you're doing on your Monday. Hopefully it's a fun day because you're hanging with us, as we'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. Kind of lost in the shuffle of March Madness and all the other things going on with the Astros opening day coming up is the fact that the Rockets keep winning. And boy, oh boy, you and I had this conversation last week, Barry. And, you know, having been in Dallas the week before and heard all the national radio shows giving all this love to Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then hearing all the people on your favorite shows in the morning and all across national media saying, you know, it's Giannis, it's Giannis. I'll tell you what, I don't think he should have had to do what he did in the last two games, but James Harden in the last two games, to me, should have put it front and center on everybody's list that he is hands down solidified the MVP for the second year in a row for what he has done for this team in this league in the regular season.
Without a doubt. I feel like after that 61-point outburst with the comeback, and I know that they fell short in OT, not even his fault. That was Clint Capella's fault for the stupid foul with a second left. But that game for me was like, that's it. There's nothing else you could show me from the Greek Freak and James Harden that's going to change my mind either way. James Harden is the MVP of this season. Hands down, has to be, and anyone else is just being a hater.
Then you add the Spurs game to it where he had 27 in the first quarter. He had 30-some in the first half. By the way, Michelle Margot never even asked the assistant coaches about his first half in that game when she was on AT&T Sports.
Really?
I was like, that might be point A. But but then to come back from behind when they needed him most, because a lot of times we know the biggest crosshairs for James Harden, playoffs, clutch time. Clutch, he was huge. Numbers, they were monster, 61 points. Sending another message. And here's what because again, my boys I play hoops with all think that they're basketball experts. And they're all singing the Greek Freak's like praises. And I'm going, okay, let me ask you this. You take Chris Paul and Capella away from the Rockets, and Harden goes on a massive historical run to not only prevent you from losing ground.
You gain ground.
You get up into the top four, which you weren't even sniffing before.
Because you were 11-14 with the big three.
You were one game from the Suns for the worst record in the entire conference.
All three.
Right. Then you lose those two, and you get catapulted. He takes you on his shoulders, catapults you into the top four. If you look at Milwaukee, and not that I'm expecting you to know these guys, or you give me, but if I say, okay, take their two best players not named Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
All right. So let's just say Middleton, who was an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bledsoe, because he has the – you take those two guys off the Bucks. Antetokounmpo, that team's a lottery team.
Yeah.
There's no way you can say that he's going to have equal to the results that the Rockets had with Harden. No way in my mind.
George Hill and Tony Snell isn't going to
– No. Robin Lopez, a three-point shooting center, he's going to shoot you up the rankings? Stop.
Brooke Lopez.
Or Brooke Lopez, right.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
I'm with you, and I still feel like – when take everything into account offensively, and it's no doubt that you can stop the Greek Freak. You can stop Antetokounmpo. Make him shoot a J. Make him shoot from range.
Pack the paint, and force him to shoot it square enough.
And then see what you get. But you can't do that with James Harden. I mean, how many times have teams tried to double him? Doesn't matter. How many times have teams just basically forced him right? Okay, then all he does is hit that step back three. Like, he can drive, he can dish, he can run the pick and roll. There's so many, I mean, literally every single person that knows NBA has gone on record and said he's the most unguardable, unstoppable player in the NBA right now.
I don't know how, and you
can see it night in and night out if you watch.
I go back to this that I keep saying to people just because I don't think they realize the 30 plus point game streak in itself. As good as everybody was all over Westbrook for averaging a triple-double for a season, when you look at that streak and then you also take into consideration who wasn't there while he was on that streak, should have done the whole thing all by itself. It should have just lock, stock, and barrel, put a bow on it. There's your MVP. But the fact that if that wasn't good enough, that he still was able to do what he did in the last week.
But here's what I was going to say. So you take offensively. I think James Harden is already – he's better offensively than Antetokounmpo. I think he's a better offensive player, more well-rounded. But he's also playing defense this year at a really high level.
He's the best low-post defender in the league,
Matt Bullard. I knew that was coming. But he's really playing at a high level. I mean, how many times in the last month can you remember James Harden getting a big steal or deflection or poke away at the end of a game that made a difference? I can remember at least three different occasions in the last month where he defensively, not offensively, but defensively, has either sealed a game or won the game for them.
I'll tell you.
That's big, man, for a guy that never played defense. And I'd be the first one to crap on it.
I was going
to
say, if
deal.
People aren't picking up that, then people, what they realize is that listen to the show on a regular basis. The fact that you aren't going out of your mind insanely upset about taking plays off
exactly.
when you don't get a call stopping at midcourt.
You
right.
Know
yeah,
I
know you will. That's what I'm saying.
I invented the my bad
that
as
exactly,
a stat for James Harden.
Yes, that exactly should be your flair that says, you know what? He's different.
Yeah, and he's not leading the league in my bads like he has in years past.
LeBron
and,
is.
Yeah, there's that.
Because he's starting to do it.
Oof.
Yeah,
you talk about taking off.
So you look at what they've done and the fact that they are firmly planted in the top four, and it looks like even if they falter a little bit down the final couple of games, they're going to be a four seed at worst.
Yep.
You got it. What he has done, how long was it that we were saying this team may not even make it? I mean,
early
they
on when they were 11 and 14,
yeah.
and the only worst team in basketball was the Suns, and that's it.
Think about that. That's more than a quarter of the way through the season, and they were 11 and 14. It wasn't like they just got off to a slow start and lost a few games.
And they're 3.5 out of first now.
That's and again.
And it's not because of Chris Paul.
No, I was just going to say.
He's played well at times, and it's not because of Clint Capella. The offense did get better and more versatile when Clint Capella came back, and we talked about that fact.
Yep, we did.
But Kenneth Faried came in and opened it
Austin
up when
Rivers.
Capella was. But the glue in all of this and the main person in all of this is James Harden.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
His effort and his willingness to play defense and everything else, and it matters.
And all the Harden haters are going to say, but what has he done in the playoffs? And what has he done? You know what? That's a chapter still to be written. But the award as it stands is a regular season award, and if you do anything but give it to James Harden, you're doing an injustice to everyone involved in the league.
Well, I can tell you guys right now, he's not going to win it. He's just not going to win it.
Why is that?
Because I just looked on the front page of the Houston Rockets page on ESPN.
Yeah.
Headline, Stephen A., Harden is the MVP. Yeah, he ain't winning it now. That's you forget that. That's the jinx of all jinxes right there.
Is that a jinx?
I mean, that's game over. He is not winning the MVP if Stephen A. Smith says he's winning the MVP. As now, it's probably, he probably even said it was like Harden and then Antetokounmpo. And then whoever he listed third, Durant.
I thought they had to do a redo because initially he said it was Craig Elo. Because you know how he gets names right.
Tracy McGrady is the MVP.
I mean, if you're not going to take Tracy McGrady, as the MVP.
Oh, my bad. I mean, James Harden.
I do a lot of radio all day and a lot of TV. It's my bad. He ain't playing? Hall of Fame? Oh, yeah. Max, you don't know hoops like me.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
line, kiss of death right there.
And again, what he did last night, everybody's, he only had 28. He didn't have to. He had 28 points in 28 minutes.
Didn't he sit out the fourth quarter?
Yes, he had 28 points in 28 minutes. I'm telling you, averaging a point a minute.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, you're doing
that's
okay.
That's 48 a game.
Yep.
You're doing well. And by the way, I know that they've lost a couple. They dropped one to the Grizz and then the Warriors. And they still won 14 of their last 16 games.
Yep.
14 of their last 16 games.
And we were talking about
the
two hottest teams.
That's a pretty good run.
The Spurs lost to the Rockets. They were the other hot team.
Yep.
So you look at everything all the factors that are involved now, and you look at, again, a team like the Warriors who's kind of hot again, not again. They don't care. They just want to finish the season. Everybody's like, are you worried about Denver? They don't care. They just want to get there.
Denver
and then they want to turn it on.
Last night, too.
Denver got walloped last night. So we'll see. Look, you could be the Rockets, or you could be teams like we just mentioned, or you could be teams like the Celtics who have no flipping idea what the hell's going on right now with their team.
What a mess. Kyrie doesn't know who he is with the media either.
One minute
he's like freaking out, and then they start winning. He's like, okay.
My bad.
Like,
I apologize.
I'm cool. I just, you know, and then they lost again. He's like, you guys don't know me. You don't know what it's like. Like, all right, dude, settle down. Like, you realize that this is part of being a star. This is going to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing. They want all the glory and the accolades and everything as the best player on an NBA team. But LeBron was trying to teach him from an early standpoint, man, there's a lot more that goes into this, and some of it ain't fun.
Would you rather be you, Kyrie, and Boston in the fifth seed? You're probably going to be the fifth seed. You're going to make the playoffs? Or would you rather be LeBron?
Right. But LeBron had a triple-double again last night. Says he won't cheat the game. So, Kyrie, would you be sitting in street clothes going, yeah, we're not
and
in
LeBron's
it, so I'm
not
out.
Dodging the media and pouting.
Nope.
And he's out front. He's like, look, man, this is a good organization, and we're going to win. And they respect the players. And he's already politicking for next season because that's what leaders do. He's like, look, I can't help all these scrubs.
Are you trying to get his coach fired?
Yeah, I can't help all these scrubs, but we're going to be good next year.
Yep.
That's what he's doing.
All right, so there you go. A little NBA hoopla to get you going through your day as well. And we've got plenty more on the agenda. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Deep in hour number two, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. That means a little over an hour to go. So we are here for you. And if you want to engage in conversations we've already had, we are having, or we are yet to have, and you want to throw it on the table, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776, or hit us on Twitter.
Hey, Nick, how do you say Taco Fall's name?
I'm not going to repeat that. I'm not going to. Does it have a syringe in it?
All you got to do is just say Taco Fall.
I'm not going to say his name again.
He said, how do you say Taco Fall's name? Say Taco Fall.
Taco Fall. Done.
You're welcome.
Done.
That's awful.
He's not happy with me now because
I don't know why you helped him with that.
Sorry.
We usually don't bail each other out.
He went to high school here in Houston.
He did?
Yeah. I didn't know that. It says Jamie's House Charter School, Houston, Texas. And then he went to Liberty Christian Prep in Tavers, Florida.
First of all, Jamie's House is now a high school?
Jamie's House Charter School.
You sure that isn't like an after school program where I'm going to Jamie's house to hang out and play some ball?
I'm looking at his that's where I found the El Haji Taco Serene Diop Fall. See, that's not hard. That's where I found but it gives you all this personal info. Born December 10th, 95 in Dakar, Senegal. 7'6", 310 pounds. That's big for 7'6" too. Good for him. Yeah, and then it says career information, college, UCF, 2015 to 2019, high school, Jamie's House Charter School, Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
Because I'm just laughing that, like, Jamie's House, it sounds like a commercial. Like, if you want to volunteer at Jamie's House to somehow jump on the bandwagon so when talented basketball players make it to the NBA, he can take care of you, too, stop by Jamie's House Charter School.
So do you know what Jamie's House is?
No idea.
So I clicked on their link. It says Jamie's House Charter School was a 6-12 state charter school in unincorporated Northern Harris County. History. The Texas Education Agency revoked accreditation on December 28, 2013 due to poor financial and or academic performance ratings. Teacher incident. In May 2010, a video of a teacher attacking a student was released to the public. The video captured on April 29, 2010 shows the teacher dragging a 13-year-old male student across the floor before hitting the student. The teacher in the video, Sherry Lynn Davis, who did not have a teaching certificate, was fired and arrested. Damn!
I would bet that wasn't Taco. She ain't dragging him, but
no,
man, it just sounded fishy to me.
That he never
Jamie's
went there.
House is a high school.
What's okay? Well, maybe that was the case. When did I tell you that they went out? Because I'm trying to figure out. If he was 2015 and it was when he went to college, that means he was a senior in 2014.
So a year after Jamie's House folded, he found a place to play his senior year.
Okay. He went to Florida.
He went to Haji Taco Syringe High School.
I don't.
I mean, high schools have like names of like people back in history or the community that they're in. But Jamie's House?
It's El Haji, not Haji. Don't. That's not an appropriate word.
Why? I thought that's what you said. Okay, you're always. I'm just saying. When you have a high school that's named Jamie's House, it sounds more like a charitable foundation.
It does. It doesn't sound legit, but apparently it is.
But that's also the way high school basketball is these days, too.
Where they just move around.
Yeah. Because the other thing is everybody's homeschooled. Because you can be homeschooled for your education.
And play at...
But still play at a high school in the area.
That's such crap.
Yep.
No wonder basketball players are stupid.
I want to say, like, Audi International High School here does that.
I have no
where they'll allow you to play on the squad, but they're homeschooled during the day.
Really?
Yeah.
That just seems like cheating.
I agree with you. But, again...
I think you should have to go to school and get bullied like the rest of us. It's just... All right.
Okay.
You want to take this call?
Sure.
We were talking Harden MVP, Q Bean. What's up,
Q? Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, as much as I hate to agree with you guys, I think you guys hit on the nail. James Harden, he's just playing out of his mind. But to me, it seems as though either he's getting that killer instinct or it's been suppressed lately. That's one of my questions. Do you guys think he's getting that killer instinct to say, hey, if the rest of you guys don't want to play, I'll do it myself? And also, what scares me the most is him exhausting a lot of energy throughout these games, the regular season. And then, as you guys mentioned earlier also, can he keep that up during the playoffs? I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Appreciate the call, Q. That is a concern, the amount of minutes he's played. I do think...
No doubt.
They're going to have to start resting him once they've clinched a spot, whether it's three or four. But there's always the talk that, oh, well, he's a baller. He doesn't want to come out. Well, I'm glad that he got to sit out the fourth quarter of this last game. I think you'll probably see a bit more of that, whether it's one way or the other. If they're getting blown out or if there's a lead that they're not worried about losing, they're going to have to start resting him a little bit. He's carried this team the whole year.
And that's the thing. It's one thing to just log those many minutes. When you talk about load management in the NBA, which they measure on a pretty consistent basis, and you think about the fact that not only did he have to play those minutes, but he had to shoulder the entire load for the team in a lot of cases and put up that many points, which is, you know, when you talk about when a pitcher comes into a high-leverage situation. He was in high-leverage situations almost every game because everything was on his shoulders and the team was undermanned and people were writing them off. So that adds a different level of wear and tear with the stress and the constant everybody pointing everything at you. He needs to rest now. And it's tough because they really can't because they got off to such a slow start to try and establish. But the sooner they can establish home court and know where they're going to be, the more rest he needs to have. Because the thing is that you're going to need Chris Paul to step up in the playoffs.
And that's, like you said, that's a scary thing because of health. You're worried that he may not hold up throughout.
And he's already systematically resting some players, but for James Harden, obviously, like you mentioned, Joel, it's a lot more difficult because they're going to need him to play as long as they can to make sure they secure the spot or whatever spot that they end up in. So they're approaching the rest of the squad one way in terms of systematically resting them, and then they're going to have to approach James Harden in a completely different manner because for obvious reasons, he's going to want to play. They need him on the floor. And then obviously the Chris Paul situation that you just mentioned. So yeah, it's going to be a dangerous situation. We saw what happened last year with Chris Paul. These guys need rest.
But, Nick, thank God they're resting him on Shumpert. Holy cow, has that not worked out?
Yeah.
I will say this. When you look at the top players, I mean, when you look at the Paul Georges and James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, all these guys are averaging at least 35 minutes a game.
Adetokounmpo.
His numbers aren't as high.
Really?
Yeah.
MVP, baby.
He's not averaging that. Not even close.
So there you go. So
he's averaging 32.9 a game, which is 42nd in the NBA.
See, then you tell me James Harden carrying more second of a load, doing more work.
James Harden is second at 37.2. Not even one, surprisingly. Bradley Beal is one, averaging more minutes than anybody at 37.6 a game.
But again, you know why? Because Wall's out, because they've been struggling, so he's been trying to do what Harden's been able to do.
Paul George is averaging 36.7. Russell Westbrook is averaging 35.9. There's your top four. Well, Jrue Holiday's tied with Westbrook at four. But you got two OKC stars in the top four. So you talk about a team that might be scared about breaking down in the playoffs. It might be that team.
Yeah, you're right.
And my dumbass is over here predicting that them and the Rockets are going to have the best chance of beating the Warriors. They might be the most exhausted team because both of their stars are average of 36 a game.
It's a good look.
Shut up.
Let's stick with it.
Shut up.
All right, two in the books, one to go. Hour left of the big show. We are coming back with the final hour next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.